Now, Tanya Kia ora. Tanya Rangihauia is the CEO of the Manukau Urban Māori Authority and joined just now. Kia ora, Tanya.
Oh, kia ora, Meepika. How are you?
Well, I'm very well, thank you, Tanya. I was just sharing with the listeners, our listeners, that I took the time out, could hardly afford to get away from home, but a friend of mine had one of those significant birthdays, so I went to Queenstown over the weekend, and I was so lucky to get out of there today, because as soon as I left, within 1 hour, all of the flights were cancelled. Terrific, yes, terrific weather event, wild weather, gale force winds. But, you know, Tanya, as I say, for special people, you make the special effort. And it was just so lovely to be there for a happy occasion. So how are you, Tanya?
Oh, lovely. I'm very good, Meepika, thank you. It's just this terrible weather. It's so up and down. And it's almost veering towards the extremes, unfortunately. You know,
yes,
it's freezing cold, then it's raining, then it's sun comes out. Oh, my goodness.
And I think, Tanya, we can expect more of these adverse weather events from now on. I think we all recognise that climate change and the environmental changes, they're here to stay. I mean, we were probably content and rather amiss for years to watch things happening in Europe and other places around the world, but we could have been actually putting some real thinking and planning into when these things eventually hit our shores, then we'll be more prepared. And unfortunately, now it's certainly taking its toll on some of our communities.
Well, it is. In fact, we're just about Mooma. We're about to start on a new service to help families who have been affected by flooding, and that's level 2 and level 3, so level 3 being significant. So we're still dealing with the aftermath of the floods that occurred earlier this year. It's incredible.
Well, that is incredible, Tanya, because, I mean, you know, some of those floods occurred over the summer, and we're heading into next summer now. And, the stress on the families just trying to cope with, the impacts on their homes and their backyards and the pressure, because then there's always expense involved. And I know a lot of people these days, because of the cost of insurance, particularly after Christchurch, we saw all of our insurance premiums go sky high, and many families either reduce their amount of coverage, Tanya, or actually let their insurance policies go altogether. And so, you know, the cost for them, the additional cost must be quite worrying.
It is worrying, and that's why we've got our navigators working with families who have been impacted by the flooding. These are families who are facing significant damage to their homes. Our navigators help them to work through all those kinds of issues. If they own their own property, then they're dealing with insurance. They're dealing with the banks. They're dealing with local government regulations in terms of restoring their homes. They're dealing with MSD in terms of funding that might be available to support them. It's quite, it's a lot. It's quite involved just to get them back on track. And these are families who actually own their own home. There are also families who we're working with who are kāinga ora tenants, and of course some of them have had to be moved not just once into a new home, but multiple times, and that's had a real impact, particularly when children are involved and their schooling has been affected.
Tanya, has it been made? I'd like to think that the bureaucrats in the various agencies, and also so that they would make it easy for people who obviously are under significant stress. And I hope that they've made it as easy as possible for people to access services. I hope the services are available, because it seems to me that a lot of emphasis and attention and the spotlight has gone, and I fully understand, on Tairāwhiti up north and Hawke's Bay. But I just hope that things are being made as easy as possible for our whānau to access the services that should be there for them.
Well, when you're facing in your own, and even not with even in your second your situation, and you haven't been affected by adverse conditions like flooding, deprivation is a real hardship. I don't know whether I actually said that properly. Sorry, Medipeka. If you've been, if you're used to facing deprivation, it's really hard to think through a course of action that could possibly improve your situation. And that's why we have our navigators out there. And you're asking, are there services available to support them? Sometimes, yes, depends on your circumstance. Can because we get out there and we bring the wraparound services to support these families. In some cases, we can't restore them back to where they, to how they were before they experienced a crisis. But we go quite a way towards doing that, and sometimes it does mean that they have to move out of a house that is so severely damaged.
Yeah,
it's quite.
Well, I do say, Tanya, thank goodness we've got our navigators, because they, to me, they are often the glue that holds everything together with the whānau while they're walking this journey beside them to get them the support. Look, Tanya, can I ask you? Yes, sorry.
Can I just, before you wrap up on that, I just want to say that a solution that might resolve a problem in the East Coast or up north is not likely to, not always going to be useful when you're dealing with a family facing a crisis in South Auckland.
That's right.
Being in urban areas, rural solutions do not work for the most part. But they have to be solutions that are tailored to their circumstances as an urban resident, an urban dweller. And you need to uplift the family and put them into another home. If there isn't a supply of 5-bedroom, 4-bedroom homes, then it's really tough. It means that our diet people have to get services in really quickly to restore their property.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
It's not easy.
No, it's not easy, and thank goodness that you're there and picking up on that mahi. Well, there is it's a couple of things that I'd love to talk with you about this evening, Tanya, and I do understand that you put in a submission to the Auckland City Council around the Māori seats, wards, or Māori wards, really, and or having seats at the Māori seats at the table. I think it closed on last week, but I haven't heard if they had had good numbers or of submitters. I guess they're going to, what they tend to do is they tend to then collate and do a bit of a synopsis of the submissions. But would you have been in favour?
Absolutely, of getting Māori seats on. Absolutely. That's why we went to the council today and demanded that absolutely representation for Māori in at the council level is something that Māori have been in Auckland have been crying out for many years, Medipeka.
Right. And so obviously there wasn't the opportunity beforehand to even maybe suggest it or push it through or want to guide it through, because I would have thought for some reason being the biggest Māori population in the world is in Auckland, plus Pacifica whānau as well, but we're talking Māori seats, of course. I would have thought that that would have been one of the first councils in the country to actually have that there as of right.
25% of the Māori population are in Auckland.
Yeah,
the majority of them are in the west and in the south.
Yes.
In the south, and this is by admission by the council themselves, when in their latest report on voter turnout in local elections, and in the last turnout election, the areas where there was the greatest level of deprivation. Māori who lived in those areas and who faced that deprivation had the poorest turnout in the election, in body elections. And so there is a strong negative correlation between mighty voter turnout and deprivation.
And sometimes I think
so the council are acutely aware of that. But our argument, and I have to say that Waipiraita, so Lance Norman was a submitter alongside me, myself, and he spoke for Waipiraita. He also spoke on behalf of Te Pai Heringa, which is a collective of Māori organisations, and they're mostly marae tethered organisations in Auckland. And he spoke on their behalf, and I spoke on behalf of Nuna. Basically, we were saying the same thing, except for my part, I talked about the social implications, the cultural implications. I talked about the treaty. I talked about how wrong it was that 183 years after we signed the treaty, and 193 years after the first Māori helped set up Auckland as Auckland City, right, in the 1830s, we are sitting here, Lance and I, imploring them to vote for Māori seats, to have Māori seats. We were we either have zero Māori seats, have two Māori seats, which could be passed before this election, or three Māori seats, which might take 2 years to get three seats. And, you know, the distinction really needs to be made clear that it's not just a ward seat. You know how councils, if they get a ward, that they're responsible to the constituents, for all of the constituents who happen to be in that ward, right?
That's right.
We want Māori seats so that our Māori councillors are responsible to the Māori in their constituency. And, of course, I don't know. It's more than bizarre that we should be there so many years ago, all saying.
Well, it is. You're right. You're right, Tanya. It is more than bizarre after all of these years that you have to, that we still don't have that representation. And indeed, it is still up to the Pākehā, elected Pākehā, who may not be there in a couple of years' time anyway, as to whether it gets the thumbs up or the thumbs down. It is bizarre.
Exactly.
Tanya, so go ahead.
Māori councillors to represent a Māori voice on council.
Absolutely.
There are so many examples, legal examples, that we cite in our submission, that I cite in the submission, as well as Lance, and so many other reasons, precedents, that provide a compelling argument for having Māori representation on the council.
Well, I hope they understood. I hope they understood what you were saying, and that didn't sit there thinking, that it went over their heads. Because if you're sitting there as an elected member of the city of Rotorua, then you should know this stuff. And if you don't know it, you should be getting yourself informed and upskilled in this area as well. Otherwise, you've got elected people sitting there at the table who are only representing, people. People that they understand, rather than being there for the whole of the city, and that can't go on. Tanya,
why positive reasons why they should extend their thinking to be inclusive of Māori on the council, because we bring to the council a level of capability that they've never had, that they don't even have. They don't have the capability that we have. They don't have the reach into our community that our Māori organisations have, nor do they have. Are they able to bring a cultural dimension? You know, we get rolled out to welcome this, that person from overseas. And the council's always at the forefront. But that's about it. It's not good enough.
No, it's not.
That I was going to the council, and this is what I was going to do. And they said, oh, good luck with that one, because it's almost, I don't know. I mean, it's the same thing, isn't it, Meta Picker? We just have to stay the course and keep fighting for Māori.
Yeah. Exactly. So tell me, of course, we're trying to get our whānau to the polling booths. And as you know, the advanced polling voting started today. Is there any initiative that you might be taking or just giving some pointers to our whānau?
Oh, look, Marty, that's why I wanted to come on to your show tonight, because my voter turnout is one of my pet projects, my pet topics. I'm so interested in that.